Alrighty, open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 9. We are in a series called Love Compels, or that's our theme for this year, is Love Compels, based on a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And Sue, if you're able to put me back up on the screen, there are three themes that come out of that passage in 2 Corinthians. And the three themes that we're going to be having series on this year in our church are seeing people through the eyes of Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Being reconcilers of people to Jesus. We just finished the series on how to share your faith. That's that one. And the third series that we're going to be having in a couple months from now is going to be about being ambassadors, representing Jesus well in terms of every aspect of your life. And there's a passage in Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35, that talks about how Jesus saw people. And so the Bible says this: Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. That's what he did every day. When you look at Acts chapter 10, it says that Jesus did this, like this is what he spent his life in. So if Jesus' day was a 12-hour day, that means, and a third of all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are healing, deliverance, miracles. That means 4 hours every day of Jesus' ministry, he was doing this kind of stuff. Minimum of 4 hour healing services every single day for 3.5 years. That's pretty good, isn't it? Lots of people touched. That's what he was doing. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, look at this, he had compassion on them because they were harassed. We're going to look at that word. Helpless, we're going to look at that word. Like sheep without a shepherd, we're going to look at that. Then Jesus said to his disciples, by the way, there's not 12 yet. There's hundreds. He's not chosen the 12. That's chapter 10 of Matthew. Chapter 9, he's just got all sorts of people who are followers of his. The Bible says there's a multitude of them. And he says to the multitude, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So what did Jesus see? When he's traveling around the villages, when he's going from city to city, town to town, when he's walking on the highways, when he's at restaurants, wherever he is, what's Jesus seeing? And the Bible says he saw hurting people. He saw the issues in their lives that were causing them distress, pain, aggravation, turmoil, all of those things. He also saw people who were discouraged. That word harassed has the idea of disillusioned. They've given up. And if we have a world, there's a whole bunch of people that have given up. And when you look around, the people that are in the cubicle beside you in your job, the people that are sitting opposite from you at the restaurant, the people that are around us, this is the kind of people that Jesus saw. There's no difference, just different, speak a different language, live in a different country. But the same sort of issues are happening today. And the third thing that Jesus saw was people with no direction, aimless, like sheep without a shepherd. I don't know if you've seen sheep, but they all follow the butt of another sheep. For the most part, don't they? If one's going this way, they all start following. And if the lead one doesn't know where it's going and just happens to have a wobble and sort of, you know, like one bent leg and is going in a circle, they'll all just go in a circle. That's the way sheep are, if they don't have direction. And Jesus saw people, they don't have direction in their lives. They need to have people pointing them in the right way. They need to have people that are ministering. And so when Jesus sees all this and he shares it with the multitude, there would have been more today in this, more people in Jesus, that Jesus is speaking to than are here in this building today. He had a whole multitude, a group like us, several hundred people, perhaps even 1,000 folks. And he's telling them this: do you see the people? And the truth was, they weren't seeing the people. The disciples weren't seeing the people because they were a little bit more involved in themselves. And maybe occasionally they saw people. And that's like you and me, isn't it? For the most part, I go through life oblivious to what's happening beside me. When you're on the TTC, sitting in a bus or on a streetcar, in a subway, are you caring about the other people? No. We're thinking about where we're going. We're thinking about what we've just done. And for the most part, we don't see people the way that Jesus does. And this was his plea to his followers. And the conclusion that Jesus had was a couple things. He says people are looking for hope. And he talked about the harvest is plentiful. There are so many opportunities. And like we just were on the ship this last week. And it's like, how easy does it get to talk to people in a contained environment? And you see the same people. You see the same waiters. If you sit in the same seats, you just have the same person, and they have to be nice to you. And they come up and they serve, and you get conversations going. And you just find out that the harvest is open. There wasn't one person that Sandra and I had conversations with that shut us down. They're all willing to talk. They're all willing to begin to share. And so the gal that Carol led to the Lord, Darren had an hour with her. An hour. Just while they were having dinner one night, because the spa staff get to eat with the paying clients. They don't have to eat in the ship's galley. And they're just there having an evening meal together. And an hour takes place. And Darren begins to talk and finds out that she has needs in her life. And the next day, Carol comes along, and there's the tipping point. And Carol's love just tips her over, and she's into the kingdom of God. That's a good thing, isn't it? Jesus also said that there's lots of opportunities for you to be a harvester. There's no shortage of opportunities. The shortage is who's going to put their hand up and do something about it. Does that make sense? Curtis, how about you come on up? I got another video to show you while Curtis is coming. We're not going to show the whole thing, but let me just get rid of this so I can find the other one. There it is. It's hiding. You probably saw this on your TV this week. Let's see. There was a police officer in Mississauga that passed away this week. It's this one right here is what I want to watch.
Good afternoon. Today is the first day in 25 years that Peel police officers have buried one of their own.
And they are being supported by uniformed men and women from across the country and the U.S. as they say goodbye to Constable Artem Ochakovsky. His friends and police family knew him as James. CTV's Austin Delaney joins us now from Mississauga. Austin, it seems that no church would have been big enough for today's service.
I don't think so.
Well, we'll stop it right there. The guy standing beside me is Curtis Hines. Curtis is one of the itinerant guys from TACF. Used to be our youth pastor eons ago when he had hair. Did you ever have... I don't think I ever met you when you had hair. But Curtis, a couple years ago, felt compelled to do something that he does not get paid for. And Curtis felt compelled to do something with the police in Peel Region. And last year was appointed as the chaplain for the Peel Police. Doesn't get paid to do that. This is the Holy Spirit asking him to be involved. So Curtis, you obviously got to, you had a busy week.
Yeah, it's been a busy week. Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? For those of you who haven't seen me in a couple of months, I'm still alive. And when you don't see an evangelist at church, it's because we're busy doing stuff, okay? So should I share how this all came about? Okay, very quickly. Five, 6 minutes? Beginning of last year, you know, I've always had a couple of unfulfilled dreams, and one of them, I won't go into all of it, but one of them was to rule the world. That's not going to happen. One was to become a police officer. I've always had this thing about the police all my life, really. I think it's because of the guns, but it's always been an unfulfilled dream of mine. And the beginning of last year, I received an email from a woman who used to attend our church that my wife and I planted several years ago. And she said, "Curtis, there's a posting up for a chaplain. I thought of you. The region of Peel has 1,800 officers and about 700 civilian employees. As a matter of fact, I think there's a few of them in our congregation that work for the region of Peel Police, and they haven't had a chaplain in a number of years." And she sent me this email, and something just jumped. Now, I got to just say this very quickly. I'm not preaching this morning, but folks, you know, when something jumps in your heart, you need to respond. You may not have all of the tools and, you know, all of the skill to make it happen. That doesn't matter. God is very able to supply you with all of that as you follow along, right? You know, sort of being on the way the Lord led me. So when something jumps in your heart, respond. You know, so it just kind of jumped in my heart, and I thought, you know what? I've always had an admiration for the police. I love them. I love what they do. You know, I've ministered to police officers, and I was very much aware of the stresses and the strains and the things that they go through. So I said to my wife, I said, what do you think? And she just kind of laughed, and she said, here we go again. You know, here you go, Curtis, with another one of your wild ideas. And so we prayed about it, and it was like, yep, let's do it. You know, let me back up. I didn't pray that much, Steve, really, you know? You know me. I don't really pray that much. I just do it, you know? It's like, I just kind of felt a leading, and it was like, okay, let's do this. So I read the qualifications, and it's like, my goodness, man, there's no way I can do this. I mean, you needed to have this, that, you know? I'm like, oh, my gosh. So anyways, I grabbed an application form and sent in a resume. I haven't done a resume in 25 years, Steve. Like, what's a resume, you know? So, you know, I went into Microsoft Word and I searched the internet. It was so frustrating, guys. I'm telling you, I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? So I did the resume, handed it in, and I got a phone call, and they said, come on in, you and all the other 500 people that are applying for this. And they kind of wanted to do a preliminary, you know, just to see if you had one head, not two heads kind of thing, you know. So I went through that, and I thought, oh, you know, like, there's no way, you know. I got a phone call a couple of weeks later that said, we'd like you to come in for our first interview. So I went in and sat in a very official room with all the officers, and, you know, we went through the whole interview process. And you know what, folks? Favor, the presence of God is the favor of God in your life. And as we sat in that room, I just felt the presence of God. I just felt the peace of God. And I just kind of thought, oh, wow, okay, you're here, Lord. You know, this is good, you know. So we went through, anyways, to make a long story short, I went through like four interviews, a 19-page background check that I thought, oh my gosh, you know. An interesting thing happened in the last stage of the interview process. They called me and said, we're sorry, but due to the tremendous response for this position, we're sorry to tell you that you didn't make it. So I thought, well, okay, whatever, right? And then I got a phone call a couple days later, and somebody called me up and said, well, actually, they made a mistake. There was something on your application that got somebody ticked off, and they threw it in the garbage. And what it was that I had a speeding ticket back in 1989, and I didn't put it on the background. I don't know what I did last week, let alone 1989. So anyways, you know, the last portion of the interview thing is that they come to your house because, you know, they want to know what your family's like, you know? So that was the part I was most afraid of, that they're gonna talk to Debbie, you know? So we went through all of that, and I was appointed as their chaplain. Now, folks, I got to tell you, it's amazing. I got to tell you, this has been the most, I would say, I've traveled all over the world, as you know, and spoken hundreds of different places and conferences. This last year has been the most rewarding time of ministry I have ever experienced in my entire life, because of the access that I have to these amazing people. And you know, Steve, love compels. You know, the reason I'm doing this is not because I get paid or, you know, or any notoriety or anything like that. It's generally because I feel the love of God for the police. And I've had an amazing opportunity, as you saw in the video, of conducting this funeral last week. And there was close to 6,000 people in the Hershey Center. They didn't even have enough seats for everyone. They had to line them all up at the top and everything like that. And folks, I cannot go into detail because I'm not allowed to, but it's just incredible the opportunity that I still have and that is ongoing as a result of this. So, okay, let me just say this. From a nudge in my heart to being able to conduct this funeral to honor this incredible officer over the space of a year, I tell you what, if God can do that with me, what can He do with you? Folks, this is the year. This is the year for us to respond to the nudge of God in our hearts and to pour the love of God that's in us out to everyone around us. Amen? All right.
I'd like you to stand up with me, Sue, if you can put the last couple slides up. I'd like you to just ask yourself these questions as we get ready to pray. Is how do you see the people around you? Maybe it starts with the first question is like, do you see them? Do you take notice of who God positions around you? And it could be a very dramatic thing where you're just feeling gripped, or maybe it's just a simple little nudge. But when those feelings come over you, that's your daddy in heaven. And it's not going to come over you for every single person. We have Young Hwa that was here this morning, Korean lady. Did you see the four guys who were baptized with the purple t-shirts? Some of you don't know Young, Korean lady that started a ministry downtown Toronto for the homeless that live in what's called Crack Corner at Sherbourne and Queen Street. And it started with her just on a driving by and seeing these guys who are living on the streets. And so the next week, she took a portable hibachi barbecue thing and cooked some hot dogs in the park. The next week, she packed into the back of her station wagon her gas barbecue and just opened it up and started cooking and giving guys a meal. That's all she was doing, just loving them. Someone went by on a streetcar, saw this week after week, jumped out, went over to her, "What are you doing?" Found out what she was doing. It turns out the person in the streetcar was a follower of Jesus. And now the two of them are serving meals every Tuesday. And Followers Mission has grown into a full ministry of not every single night of the week, but meetings. Like they have a Holy Spirit meeting every Friday. They have church this morning that's going on. Many of our cell leaders from TACF go there. Garth and Mary, who are in the front here, they preach there like once a month, something like that. And our church is involved in caring, and it started with one person just having a little thought. That's how God speaks to us. And it could be your neighbor that God talks to you about. It could be a family member. It could be someone at work. It could be a group of people like Curtis had, police officers. But when God speaks to you, the question is, are you going to ignore it, or are you going to go, oh, maybe I'll give it a try? I want you to just make a statement to the Lord to try to answer these questions. So one more time, thanks. Would you say that little prayer with me? Father God, help me to see like Jesus did. Now just close your eyes and just talk to God real quick. Ask him to give you more opportunities to see what's really going on. Ask the Lord to give you a soft and tender heart that when he pokes you in the ribs and stirs your emotions and draws your attention to people or people groups, that you're going to say, God, I would like a few more pokes in the ribs, please. I actually would like to be a little bit more involved in fun kingdom stuff. Just talk to your Father right now. Look at the screens. So how are we going to respond? Getting involved? Going to choose to be a harvester? Lots of opportunities, Jesus said, out there. When the Holy Spirit comes on you and me, the Holy Spirit's doing that because he's going to be with us. That's the key right there. God's not going to ask you to do anything that he's not going to help you with. We do not have time this morning, but I have 1,000 people in secular places, like not church, outside of church, that I've seen healed because I get a thought, and the thought is they're sick. And my little thing to them is I engage in a relationship, in a conversation somehow, and then I just say, by the way, do you have pain in your body? Well, yeah, how did you know? Well, God actually told me you do. Would you like the pain or would you like it to go? It's a loaded question. They all want it to go. Well, say this with me. I don't even say the word prayer. Just say this with me. I never close my eyes and they repeat a little prayer. My healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. I receive my healing now in Jesus' name. And 9 out of 10 of them are healed within 3 seconds. Then they say, well, how did you do that? Well, actually, that wasn't me. That was God in me. Would you like to have God in you? Oh, yeah. That's another prayer. Dear Jesus, I give you my life. And it just happens all the time. How does it begin? A little nudge. And then saying, God, okay, I'm not going to be afraid. If you're in it, if you're pushing me, I'll put my hand up and say yes. Let's pray this. Sue, one more time. Let's pray this last little prayer. Father God, show me how I can bring your kingdom into my world. Close your eyes. Holy Spirit, would you come? And Daddy, we're just ordinary folks here. Some of us don't have a job. Some of us are students. Some of us are working way too hard in jobs. Some of us don't have great English skills. Some of us are new to Canada, don't know the customs. Some of us are older, some of us are younger, some of us are in the middle, some of us are men, some of us are women. Daddy, whatever the issues where we would discredit ourselves, the actual truth is that if you're tapping us on the shoulder, you think we're ready. And so, Father, we're saying if you think we're ready, we're going to do our best to be ready. And we're going to trust in you. And what the Bible says, that when we're in front of other people, like Curtis has been this week, in front of dignitaries, that you will give us the words to say. When we're in situations way out of our experience, out of our pay scale, where we just are going, I have no idea what to do here. We thank you, your promise is you will open our mouth and fill it. You'll give us the words. You'll give us the anointing as we lay hands on a sick person. You'll give us faith to believe for miracles. Daddy, we're asking that you'd use us in this room today. Now I'd like you to just get in a group. Sandra, do you have something to say first? Come on up.
I was praying yesterday. I think I was in a plane. Turbulence, you know. But anyways, I was praying for you guys. And I just said, Lord, you know, what would you have me to say to my church, to my people this morning? And it, I felt like the Lord reminded me of Jabez, you know, that prayer. And I felt like what the Lord was saying, you know, you need to tell your people that they're blessed. That it's time to, I know there's the whole, there's a book that you can buy in the bookstore, and it tells us, it's just a little bit, it talks about the Jabez prayer, and about it talks about that there's so many blessings in heaven, and there's this whole story where somebody goes to heaven, and somebody's walking them around, and there's boxes with names on it, and they go, what are those boxes? And the answer is that these are boxes of blessings that my people have not opened yet. And I felt like to remind you this morning that we are a very blessed and favored church, and that you're all blessed. And I just wanted to pray this over you, so if you could just hold out your hands. And it says in 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10, and it says, Jabez cried out to God of Israel, and he said, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. And I feel like this morning that God is granting that request for all of you. That God is saying in this place that, you know, that we need to extend our territory. Like, and that we have the authority, that God has given us the okay. And we need to begin to say, okay, God, show me what those things are. Show me the blessings that I need to walk in. So many of us don't walk in those blessings, but I feel like this morning, as Stephen has been talking about, love compels, that, you know, there's so much that God has just burnt inside of us that we're just itching to do, and God's saying, go for it. Go for it, because we are so blessed and there's so much favor on it. And I just want to bless you that in your homes and in your businesses and in the ministries and whatever you're doing, that even as Curtis shared this morning, all it took was that little inkling of, whoop, you know. And I tell you, that is why my sons are married and getting married, because of that, whoop. and I spoke it out. And so if you get that feeling inside of you, And that passion inside of you, that's the blessing that the Lord has for you this morning. And so, Father, I'm asking right now that you would just come and you would bless this church. Father, I thank you for these people, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that they're your sons and your daughters. Father, I thank you that your love compels them in every way. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you say to us, bless me. And you do. You bless us, Father. And you say, enlarge your territory. Lord, I thank you, Father, that today, that you give us all eyes to see. Father, I pray that you would just come in and anoint our eyes today, Father, that we would see everything that you would have for us. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to see the things in the future, Lord, and how the process that we need to go through. Lord, I pray, Father, for favor in every area of our lives. Father, I thank you for the compassion that is on this place. And Lord, the compassion in this place comes because of what the Father has done. The Father has come, and his love has compelled us so much that it has just put us into places that we have never expected to do, just like Curtis, Lord, just like Majid, and just so many of these people in this place, Lord. And Father, I thank you that nothing is too small. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you can use us exactly where we are. And Lord, I just bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
So we're going to do one more prayer in just a moment. What God calls you to may not be as extreme as what Majid did of smuggling people out of a nation and bringing them here, risking his life, doing all that kind of stuff. It may not be like what Curtis did, where he's got a job. Curtis owns a couple businesses. That's what he does for a living, travels occasionally. And the Holy Spirit says, here's a group of people that are helpless and harassed like sheep without a shepherd. They need caring. It could be that it's just a cup of cold water. It could be that it's just a thank you. It could be that when you go for lunch today, instead of leaving a 15% tip, you do what Bill Johnson encouraged us at the pastor's conference, leave a 100% tip and see the shock in their face. And they go, what's this? Well, I'm a follower of Jesus. Well, most followers of Jesus don't tip well. Well, I'm not one of those ones. And I'm here to bless you. What do you mean you're here to bless me? And then all of a sudden, you're in a conversation. So, Father, we're asking for the Holy Spirit. Put your hand on, or actually grab someone's hand that's beside you. Tall person, close your eyes. Shorter person, go for the tall one. Put your hand on their shoulder right now. Skip what I said about holding hands. Put a hand on someone's shoulder. Find a tall person. Ask for the Holy Spirit to fill that tall person, that when God gives them the nudge, they'll go the next step. They'll respond. They'll say, okay, I'll try it. Bless the Holy Spirit to absolutely fill them. Bless the Holy Spirit to give them the words when a time comes. Bless the Holy Spirit to give them the wisdom to know when to say something, how to say it. Bless the anointing of the Holy Spirit to increase that when it's time for miracles to take place, signs and wonders, that it happens. Okay, flip. Pray for the second person in your group. Some of you are in groups of three. That's all right. We're going to pray three prayers. Pray for a second person now. Switch over to a different one. Holy Spirit, may the anointing increase. For those of you that are at home, if someone's with you, hope you're joining in with us. If not, just pray for yourself. Holy Spirit, would you come for every person that's watching from their home or their office right now? Father, we're asking for the anointing of the Holy Spirit when it's time for a miracle, when it's time for a word of knowledge, when it's time for a revelation, when it's time for a dream interpretation, when it's time to give a prophetic word, when it's time for whatever it is that's a supernatural thing of the Holy Spirit. Father, give it to your people. Give it to us. Father, just like Jabez called out and he asked for expansion, we bless more opportunities to come our way as a church. Father, we're asking for the love of God to come our way. If you're in a group of three, switch to the third person. If you got more than three in your group, this is the last prayer. Figure it out. Lay hands on two people. Holy Spirit, increase in our lives. Holy Spirit, come. Bring the favor that comes when we say yes. Did you know that's how you get favor? Is by saying yes. It's a simple thing. If you're looking for more favor, there's a couple different things in the Bible. By the way, single men, the Bible says when you marry a wife, you gain favor. So single guys, think about that. You take a jump in favor. But favor comes by saying yes to the Holy Spirit. His anointing comes on you. Doors open, windows open. Barriers fall down. Stuff that shouldn't be there that's blocking your way, it moves to the side and you're able to move through. So like Curtis, 500 people applying for that role and he gets it. Even when his resume's tossed on the garbage, it gets out of the garbage, it gets back on the table, and he's the number one choice. So Father, would you come? Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? May this week be a week that we get to do some God stuff. And the people thought that was a good idea? Yes? Amen.